Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've heard many people talk about how important today's gospel is to them. You see, they often find themselves worrying, and perhaps worrying quite a lot. And so they want to follow our Lord's words in this gospel. They don't want to be anxious, and they know, based on what Jesus says in this reading, that they should not be filled with so much worry. And it is, of course, very good that they want to take this gospel to heart. These words of Jesus are perhaps more fitting now, this year, than any of my 15 years of serving as a pastor. Many are filled with anxious concerns and worries. Of course, every year I have met people filled with concerns and worries, but they certainly are compounded this year. There have been times in the past where people have been filled with great anxiety. We think back on September 11th, or during the Cuban Missile Crisis, or fears of nuclear wars, or World War III, or looking at the great number of casualties that happened during the two world wars. And today we are dealing, of course, with a novel virus that produces a lot of uncertainty, how it can affect one person in such terrible ways and then not even affect the next person. And as a number of the cases of COVID-19 are making record highs here in our own county, many are concerned about this trend. When or if will it hit our own homes? When will it affect our closest friends or relatives? And how will it affect them? Hearing the large number of those who have been infected at the Good Shepherd Home in Concordia causes much alarm. Clearly, many are concerned, but many go far beyond this concern and caution into anxiety and worry. And that, dear Christians, is what our Lord Jesus is teaching us not to do. Others take an opposite position. They, in understanding that Jesus clearly says here not to be anxious, do not worry, then have no concerns and want to exercise little or no caution over the virus. In a way, this does seem reasonable, doesn't it not? Because we don't always take these same types of precautions even during the flu season. And, you know, our hymn that we just sang makes it very clear that whether we suffer need or even death, God is still going to be with us. He's still going to take care of us. But we do take some precautions during the typical flu season. Those who are sick are asked to stay home from work or school. The flu vaccine is given out to prevent the spread of it. If we just said, God says don't worry, so don't do anything and take no precautions, then nobody would get the flu shot, and people would not bother with limiting exposure, and of course, then the number of cases of the flu would be much higher. Now, if we use some of these precautions during the regular flu season, we could also use some precautions during the coronavirus. How, though, do we distinguish between taking reasonable precautions with what becomes worry or anxiety, which our Lord Jesus forbids? Sometimes this line is not very clear. The extremes, of course, are clear, but not always the middle ground. Let me explain by using another example. Some might take an extreme stance on today's gospel and say, well, Jesus says that I am not to be anxious about what I'm to eat or what I'm to drink or what I am to wear, so I'm not going to take any measures to ensure that I obtain food, drink, or clothing. God will take care of me. He says, don't worry, so I'm going to sit on the couch days on end, do nothing productive, and he says he'll take care of me. That, of course, is an extreme, which obviously Jesus is not teaching in this gospel, nor is it taught anywhere else in Scripture. In fact, it is written, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. That is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, And Paul included that because there were people who quit working because they expected Jesus to be coming back so soon that they figured they could just get along until Jesus returns for judgment. Paul, of course, wrote those words almost 2,000 years ago, and Jesus still has not yet come for the day of judgment. So we need to engage in working. And in order to eat, we need to concern ourselves with work. And in the same token, some precautions should be followed to help prevent not only this coronavirus, but also the flu or polio or tuberculosis or many other diseases. Teachers of preschoolers have to get a tuberculosis test every 2 years, even if they haven't traveled outside the country. Of course, there will never be agreement even among Bible-believing Christians over how much caution should be followed, what is the exact right way. Part of the reason for this is that different people have different people require different needs. That is, different people might need different levels of caution based on their risk category. And so in our church, while I do not make the claim that everything we're doing is perfect or right, we are doing what we view is reasonable and safe and without too much interruption from our regular ways. We certainly do not want people to engage in worry needlessly. Jesus teaches us not to be anxious for a reason, and that is because we are anxious. He teaches us not to worry because we do worry. If we were not guilty of these things, it would have been unnecessary for our Lord Jesus to say these things. All of these words that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount almost 2,000 years ago still apply to us today. Now, there are some things that have changed since Jesus told the crowd these words not to be anxious. You see, among his original hearers, most would have been concerned about their basic needs, about obtaining enough food, about having clean water, about having clothes to wear, and even having shelter. For famine was more common, clothing wasn't so easy to obtain, shelter was not nearly as luxurious as even the poor have today. Those basic needs were, in those days, very hard to come by. And so many were worrying about even the basic needs. In our day, people don't worry so much about these basic needs because, by and large, people have them. Instead, they worry about things that go beyond the basic needs. So if they have a savings account, they worry about losing it. They worry about how they'll make it in retirement. They worry about an uncertain future. They often worry about things that have to do more with luxury than the basic needs. The more stuff we have, the more we worry about it all. And that, of course, is not good. So in today's gospel, Jesus teaches us some important lessons. First thing he wants us to do is to take a step back and realize that our life is more than food and drink and clothing. Second, he points out that we are more valuable than the birds of the air. God the Father takes care of the birds. And if he will take care of them, you are much more value in his eye. For you have been made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore he will take care of you. Also, God takes care of the plants, as we heard in our gospel, the lilies, and even the grass. And if it is in God's nature to even take care of that insignificant plant known as grass, will he not also take care of you? Fourth, Jesus says that your heavenly Father knows that you need all these basic needs, and so he will supply them.
Fifth, Jesus identifies the root of such anxiety when he says, "Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And six, he teaches how our faith may be strengthened when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And finally, Jesus said that when we stop worrying about the basic needs of life and instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he promises all these things, these basic needs, will be added to us. So what should be our primary concern? Should it be concerns about basic needs? Or should it be about avoiding the coronavirus? Or should it be something else in this life? What Jesus teaches is that we are to concern ourselves first with seeking first the kingdom of God and then the righteousness of Christ. That is, to hear the message of the cross and our Lord's bleeding, dying love, to be absolved of our many sins and be pronounced innocent by our Savior, and to remain firm in the faith to receive the salvation of our bodies and souls. But these things, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have fallen on hard times, especially now during the coronavirus. Many assume that their faith or the faith of their children will remain just as strong and active while they give themselves a break from feeding on God's word and sacraments as they try to avoid contracting the virus. However, if it is God's will for you to get the virus, he will see to it that you will get it. And I can tell you, though, that God's will for you is to gather in the house of God, to hear the voice of your good shepherd, and to feast on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through these means that the Holy Spirit is present to bless you with a stronger faith, and by which you will then become less anxious about the things of this world. It is also through these means that you are seeking the kingdom of God and obtaining the righteousness of Christ. You do not remain in the kingdom of God, that is, in the faith, when you simply have a little bit of head knowledge about Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. Instead, you remain in the kingdom of God, that is, in the faith, when you are feeding on, or when your faith is being fed by God through the word and the sacraments. When these means are avoided under the guise of being safe from pestilence, what we are doing, I must say, and you must listen, that we are placing ourselves into a greater danger that is often more difficult to recognize. Let me explain by analogy. You've heard about the many people who have contracted COVID-19 and did not even know it. They had no symptoms, but yet their test may have come back positive, or their test for antibodies has also come back positive. What I do not have for you is some sort of test to determine if a person's faith is drying up because they have chosen to neglect the gathering of believers. I cannot run a test to say your faith remains as strong as it was prior to avoiding the word and sacrament from coronavirus as it is now. But I can tell you that Jesus teaches us not to be anxious, that he will take care of us, and that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. The devil is at work, and he wants nothing more than to tear us away from the means of grace, and he will do anything to do so. And he is even using this virus to try to get people to fail to listen to the word of God. Now, before the virus broke out, Generation Z had already been shown to have twice as likely to consider themselves atheists as the previous generation, that Generation Y. People are leaving the faith in droves. They are no longer concerned about receiving an eternal inheritance or receiving from Christ his love and the forgiveness of their sins. Instead, they figure that life is just what they will eat or what they will wear, what they will own, or what they will do. This, too, is a cause for anxiety for many, for they worry about their children and grandchildren having faith. They don't know what to do as they witness their loved ones leaving the church. But here's what we do. We pray for them. We talk to them about the wonderful mercies of God. And we love them in Christ. We not only love them with the tenderness with which Christ has had for all people, but we also love them by warning them of their unbelief, as Christ also does. We certainly live in times which have produced much anxiety, but instead of being anxious of all the things around us, Jesus teaches us to place our attention on something else, something completely unexpected, and something that is far more glorious and far better. He says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first this kingdom of God. As we learned in the Catechism, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And Jesus says, seek first the righteousness of Christ, his righteousness. He declares you to be righteous by faith. You've become righteous by virtue of your baptism. You've been covered with the very righteousness of Jesus, and you remain as righteous as Christ himself is righteous as long as you are a child of God in the faith. And so we, as God's children, appear before our Father, not as the anxious sinners that we are, but we appear before him as righteous saints who are perfectly pure and holy. This is all granted to us by grace through faith. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins and grant us this very righteousness. We rejoice that we have it. And Jesus teaches us to not worry about the other things in this world when we have this righteousness of Christ. He teaches us and reminds us that when we have this righteousness of Christ, all these other things will be given to us. Our basic needs will be met, and we have that promise of eternal life. And so in him, with these gifts of God in Christ, we are set free from all anxiety, and we give our thanksgiving and our praise to him. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.